Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Overass. Today is a very special episode for two reasons. First reason, I am in a suite in the Hilton right now. As you can tell, I got a kitchenette and everything. We were just talking about this off air. It's quite fantastic, actually. Second reason, we have real estate extraordinaire Kirsten Jordan on the program. Super stoked to have you. Star of Million Dollar Listing New York. You are a mom, a traveler, a wellness enthusiast, and, well, a real estate agent. Kirsten, thanks so much for being on.
Well, thanks for having me. I we met because I chased you down in the hotel of the Inman. I saw you walk by and I was talking to somebody and I was like, I'm sorry, I have to go. And I just I was wearing real heels. So it took a little bit to catch up to you because you guys were moving.
Yeah.
So great fangirl moment.
That was a great photo we got too. Actually, I need you to send me that photo. I don't have one. So I'm going to have to add that to my list.
Matt, isn't that crazy? $1 million listing star goes up to you at the Inman conference.
I know.
Yep.
How the tides have changed.
You're an inspiration. You're an inspiration. We send your memes around. We love you. You're awesome. Keep doing what you're doing.
Wait, you don't think Matt's the broke agent, do you?
No.
Okay, got it.
Well, I like your stuff. Thank you. You follow Broke Agent and you follow both of us.
I follow it all.
Yeah. And you even called me iconic. Which I took with me. That was my highlight of Inman.
Yeah, I was like, well, the one that you did about the self-checkout was like brought me to tears. So I had to retell that one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate it. I always like when we start the episodes with people complimenting me. So that's good. But you're fantastic too, Kirsten. That's why you're on here right now. You know what? Did you watch the OC?
I feel like I've seen snippets of it. Okay. For a reality television star, I have limited viewing experience of reality television, which is tough because there's a lot of reality television that involves you talking about other reality television shows. And so it's a huge exposure that, like, in order to be a successful real estate agent, you actually can't really do anything else.
True.
And so I have like.
Yeah. On the OC, there's a character named Kirsten. So every time I say your name, I think of Kirsten from the OC. She was an awesome character. So, but for people who may not know you, can you kind of give, like, tell us how long you've been in the industry? How's it been going? Was it rough at first? And then we'll kind of get into all the nitty gritty.
Right. I've been in the industry for 14 years, if you're counting, you know, really to the day. I got into the business because I came back from Europe with my tail between my legs. I'd lived there for 2 years and I had gotten my everything handed to me while I was there because I was selling designs. I was selling licenses for designs for greeting card and wrapping paper. So I was literally selling pictures of Santa Claus and bunnies and like just designs to these companies that were going to put them on like wrapping paper and across Eastern Europe. And the reason I was doing that job was because I learned Italian while I was living there. And they were like, hey, we just need somebody who's going to like basically translate and do sales. So I was 24, and I had this like big job. I had no visa. It was like kind of a joke, barely getting paid to do this. And when I came back from there, I realized I was like, listen, I should do sales, but I should do it like in America where I get paid real money. Cause like in Europe, it's a lot, you just don't get paid the same, especially when you're like a young woman. They were like, you should be really happy that we're giving you 2,000 euros a month under the table because you have no work visa to hang out and like talk on the phone with Germany and the Czech Republic about Santa.
What is 2,000 euros a month? I'm a moron. What does that translate to USD?
It was, well, basically $24,000 a year at the time, probably $28,000 a year, something like that at the time.
Got it.
So it was like, you know, I mean, I guess when it's your first job, it's enough to live off of technically, but I had grown up in a suburb of New York City. So like I was kind of expecting more. And I think all of us leave college expecting more in general. Like, I think we all think it's going to be just fabulous out there in the world of working. So when I got back to New York, it was 2007, got my real estate license. My stepfather was like, because if you want to sell something, you should sell something that's expensive so that you make more money. Like, don't pick more stuff that's cheap that you got to sell a lot of. So pick stuff that you can sell like one or two and you still make money. So I got my real estate license and I went right to work. I was at Douglas Elliman. I worked on a team. It was like the total wrong fit, but I got my feet wet for the first 6 months. I did a couple deals, did a bunch of rentals, and then the financial crisis happened. You know, Lehman, it was just kind of like a disaster. Ryan Serhant and I kind of were in the same boat of like, hey, like what's going to happen? This is like New York City. You never knew, you actually didn't know when you were going to do your next deal because the gears locked. You know, there's a difference between things going down and the gears moving and then things going up and the gears moving. And at least we all make money no matter which way it's going. There was no money to be made. And there was a position that opened that my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, had interviewed for because he was a budding real estate developer and also freaked out and thought, hey, maybe I'll get my license and just go work as a broker as well. So he was like, but I think I should get a mentor. So he interviewed at Douglas Elliman for this woman who was a pretty good agent at the time. She was doing $1 million in GCI, which is a really big deal in 2007 or something that you could work with them and you could make enough money to have a real living. And he left the meeting and he was like, there's no way I'm going to be a real estate agent, but this woman's cool. She's looking for somebody. You should go put yourself in that position and try to get the job. So I called her up and said, hey, you know, like you met with my boyfriend. I don't think he's the right fit, but would you interview me? And so the rest is kind of history. I worked for her as her assistant for 5 years. It was lucky because it was a luxury. She was a luxury agent. I was able to learn a lot about the luxury business. And like, it worked. And so I did that for 5 years and then kind of stayed on her team for a couple more years, started having kids. I'd gotten married. I, you know, was gotten to this kind of this position where because I had been a supporting position, I never really thought about starting my own team. I never thought about having my own thing because I was so deep in also knowing the operations and knowing what it took to do a transaction that I kind of was like controlling, didn't see that for myself, had gotten stuck in the business entering in this way that was kind of like, hey, you could have a really good living and a good life supporting somebody who's a badass and a rainmaker and you can like get by and it's going to be okay. And I kind of got stuck in that. And then of course, like popping out 3 kids 2 years apart was like, boom, 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 boom. You know, like they're 4, 6, and 8 now, didn't help. And like, I didn't have a support system in place. So every time I'd have a kid, my business would just kind of like stop and I'd have to restart again. And I didn't have assistant. I didn't have any ops staff. I didn't have anything. So then I changed firms. I went to Compass. I worked for another team and I was at this low point. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I've been in this business for like 12 years. I'm still working for other people. I have 3 kids. I like know enough and I've done enough transactions. Like I got to figure out what to do. I got to take my business to the next level. And I started meditating because I was starting to have, I think I was like starting to have health problems, probably just because I was just like stuffing it for so long. I was just like working for everybody else and kind of doing too much and not being able to get to a steady place in my business. And I started meditating and like literally within 3 months, I got this phone call that was like a sketchy text message from somebody with a West Coast area code. And they're like, hey, how was your business this year? Would you be interested in casting a $1 million listing in New York? And I was like, oh my God, they discovered me. I am meant to be on television. This is why I've sucked it up and literally schlepped and like survived the last 12 years of doing this business, right? Like it was like a, like, you know, like a white light, like over your whole body, full body, like tingling blood drains. I am meant to be on $1 million list in New York. This is how I'm going to justify this godforsaken business, right? Because at that point I was just like, what am I'm too far in to leave because I have business and I have clients. I can't leave. And so I started casting. And like, by the way, that text went out to probably 100 other people. Like it was definitely not like, hey, we discovered you. I had no social media presence that had any video.
Were you on TV at all?
No.
Well,
I've never done anything.
Like TV hits on Bloomberg or CNBC or any, no video camera work or anything.
No, no, I was petrified of video. I'd never done any video of myself ever. I was just like, I had like static photos on my Instagram. Like I had been working on building my Instagram presence for like a couple of years. And I had like kind of charted it through like me being pregnant in a bunch of listings. Like it was not, there was no clear brand. It was just like me being a broker, pretty listings. There was like, it was, if you look at it today with what people expect to build a social media presence, it was a basic joke, but I was on a top producing team and they clearly found me and were like, hey, you know, she looks, you know, she's good looking. She clearly is doing business. Let's, you know, let's put her in the pile of 150 people that we're casting with for a million dollar listing.
So the first part, what you said is why we haven't been casted, Eric. The
good looking we're not part. Good looking.
Yeah. I've been waiting for that call my whole career. Slightly. No, yeah. I mean, you got the height for sure. I mean, I don't, that's you know, but okay.
Kirsten, what was the casting like for Million Dollar Listing? Like what takes place in that?
I mean, it's just, it's exactly what it is. I mean, all of the casting, I think is pretty much the same for all of these things. And we're not really allowed to like pull back the curtain that much, but I can tell you that it involves a lot of me sending videos of myself that I've taken talking about things or like pretending to show apartments or like, you know, talking about topics. And at one point I had hired a professional videographer to do some like cutaway interviews about like real estate stuff to try to just get more comfortable and put myself in front of the camera. And the whole process made me realize how much I loved being in front of the camera and how it was like something that actually really was like a calling for me. Like it was the right thing to do. And that reinforced the fact that I was like, they're going to cast me.
Yeah. Like,
this is going to happen. And I think it wasn't an arrogant thing. It was just more like people like me usually don't do reality television. They're afraid to put their life out there. And I was kind of like, not desperate, but I was like, this is an opportunity. This is the only time I'm ever going to do this. Cause like 2-3 years from now, I'm going to be like, I'm 40. Like what? No. And it also was like, this is the opportunity to like change my business because I need something so big to pull myself out of this like rut that I've burned into my nervous system for the last 12 years that it needs to be something that's really, truly life altering.
So 100 people about also got that text message. What do you think made you stand out to actually get the part?
I think I was lucky. Well, I would say luck helps because of the fact that I'm sure that there were other people, like I know other women that had been casting during other seasons that didn't get it or that, you know, then this round weren't available. Or so there's a lot of things that have to do with divine intervention here. And then there's also, I was just like, I know real estate cold because I've been doing it in a really like granular nerdy way because I wasn't really always the rainmaker. I was always the one behind the scenes doing comps, doing contracts, doing, you know, negotiations, doing the research, doing like writing these narratives for high level clients. So I can speak to the business very, very well. And then, you know, I think there's of course just like a general charisma and then I pushed really hard. Like I created my own kind of reel of sorts or sizzle. I did a bunch of that stuff. And then I think it was probably just connecting with them. And I had relationships with the cast previously as well. That probably helped. And I think that the story of having 3 children and being in the business for a long time was like compelling. Probably compelling for them.
I guess I didn't think of that. I guess the chemistry that comes into account as well with the other cast members. You could be great by yourself and then get thrown in with Ryan or whoever. And it just doesn't click.
Yeah. You turn into like a wallflower.
Yeah, like Eric probably would.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. That's your crush. You just throw me under the bus no matter what we're talking about. Oh yeah, Eric's ugly.
Eric's. I was saying that you had the height over me.
Right.
Kirsten, sorry, we get into these arguments mid episode. We either interrupt each other or get into arguments about usually looks,
something
like that.
Something very surface level.
I think he's. I mean, you look good today, Eric. Other than your prison cell room you're in, but other than that you're doing pretty well.
So Kirsten, how has your business changed since you've been on the show?
So so the premise of my whole message to the world about Million Dollar Listing is that like my business changed the most when I made the shift when I was cast and the 18 months up to when I won the show aired then just the referrals that come straight from television. I've gotten some incredible opportunities from the show, which are undeniably directly from the show. But the rest of it is doors that I open myself, and I use it as a calling card, or as a way to say, you know, as a validation for people that want to talk to me. It's a great way for my sphere to now recognize me as a real estate agent when, you know, for all that time, they were recognizing me much less because of the fact that there was a lot of confusion around my brand. Clearly, I wasn't putting myself out there as much as somebody who was truly an expert and really serious about doing what I'm doing. There was a lot of like, hey, are you still in the business? You know, are you still working that much? Or, you know, I know you've had three kids. You know, there's just a lot of, it's very easy for there to be brand confusion when there's not enough clarity and not enough, you know, content that you're putting out there, as you guys know. And then the other part of it was like, I shifted my whole brand so significantly and really started investing in my personal brand. It wasn't just from a social media perspective, but like I created a website, I have an SEO presence, I have, you know, YouTube, I'm like working on my TikTok. I mean, all this stuff that is a marathon, not a sprint. And you have to be so committed to it that I was never ready to be committed to it because there was no why, there was no future. There was just like, I'm a agent. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm kind of stuck. You know, I don't take myself seriously enough. So how do I do this? And so a lot of the show for me was just truly validation to invest in myself and my brand and the business.
It really is a great way, something really good to leverage in an industry that's so oversaturated now. I mean, it's something that very few people can say, obviously, that you're on the show. It just gives you, like you said, that validation over a lot of people. But what I always say, and what I've said to like Ryan in the past, like you can get all the exposure you want, but you still have to, you have to put in the work still, and you have to be like a good person. If you're an asshole, it doesn't matter how many eyes you have on you. You're not like, no one's going to want to work with you still.
Matt, I'm stopping the podcast.
Okay.
Guess what I was doing today?
What?
Scrolling through real estate Facebook groups to get content. But instead of content, I got something else. You know what that was?
No.
The same question over and over again. What is the best real estate CRM?
Yes. This is the most frequently asked question in real estate agent history, Eric. Don't you know that?
No chance.
Well, I'm going to let you know a little secret here. So come close. All right. The people have spoken, and the answer is unequivocally Boomtown. Boomtown is the number one user rated real estate CRM with all of the tools and tech you need to generate and convert conversation ready leads. To check out Boomtown and see how you can score $750 in free digital advertising, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. Now that's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Yeah. Etiquette is never talked about in real estate. So who, in the industry, like, do you try to emulate with your etiquette? Is it like Ryan Serhant, or like, who are you learning from?
Other than me, Kirsten.
Right. Of course.
Okay. I have pretty good etiquette.
You know, Ryan has incredible skills. And I have to say that there's a lot about Ryan that I try to emulate. And there's a lot that I look up to, and I will never pretend. I mean, I would say like when I first started watching it and kind of like understanding what he was up to, I was actually extremely jealous because it was just like from the outside before you're on reality television, it does look like everything's handed to them. You know, it really is. And it was like really tough to swallow, like from the perspective of like a working mom who, my husband's a developer. At one point I had to let Ryan take one of the projects because I was pregnant with my first, and like I couldn't go to this East Village project and I had to let Ryan sell it. And, you know, I mean, like, and it happened with another project as well, at one point that he got to take the penthouse and ended up selling it, you know, and that was really hard because I was in this like time. And if I look back, like had I had the right systems in place, I could have probably handled more and done it differently, but I wasn't that place in my life. But to go back to who I look up to him from that perspective, from his hustle, but I also, you know, from a ability to conserve energy and still be able to put out incredible content, he's very good at turning it on and off. And that's something that takes a lot of skill. He's a trained actor, but like, it's really hard. I put my heart and soul into filming Million Dollar List in New York. And as you know, there's a lot that doesn't make it to the screens, and there's and I burned through adrenal juice doing it. I mean, like I came out of that season totally wiped out because I didn't have an equilibrium of how to like be funny and fabulous. So and then be able to like turn it off and conserve the energy when things were off. It was like, I'm there, I gotta be great, I gotta be on. This is, and it's and that's tough. So, but from the etiquette perspective, Ryan is really, truly talented, and he's really, truly talented at biting his tongue and not saying stuff to people that is not like when they're, he's just very good. And I've observed him in a lot of different scenarios, and it's really impressive. And then there's a couple of other agents that are females that I look up to from it all does boil down mostly to etiquette. It's, you know, of course they know how to handle clients, and they know how to handle a lot of scenarios that are, you know, even another 10 years away from experience that I don't even know how to navigate. And that I look up to, but then the etiquette that you're talking about really comes down to how to make people feel amazing. And there's a guy on my team, we joke about that book, that Dale Carnegie book, the, you know, the How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know, the sound of someone's name is the sweetest sound. And like, for me, people mispronounce my name all the time. And so I actually know so well how important it is to learn someone's name, pronounce it well, and use it more than once in conversation. And that's just one thing to do to make someone feel great and it's just subconscious, you know, that people. So I would say that I can't, I mean, like, and then of course, like I look up to Barbara Corcoran. I mean, we're all looking up to these major female players who survived and were started in a different time when there was less opportunity for women. And that's what's incredible about residential real estate in general, is that there's room for us to grow.
That's really actually so important, the etiquette, just like letting your clients walk in front of you, as you say in the blog, learning their name, being polite, you know, opening the doors for them. It's that little stuff that is goes into your real estate presentation that could really separate you from the other agents. And like you said about Ryan, every time I picture him, he's got incredible posture. He's always smiling. He's in a suit. He's clean. Like, he presents himself in such an approachable and professional way that I think that is attributed to a lot of his success and your success. And everyone should check out this blog, because it's written really clearly, and it just says like the importance of manners in real estate. And you're the only person I've seen that's, you know, covered that topic like this before. And it's really good.
Thank you. It was the same thing
is I've adopted that. And it's cool how you can like keep evolving in the industry by like having, seeing what other people do. And like, you know, I've noticed people who like would say my name like countless times in a conversation, I'd be like, oh, that's nice. Like, it feels like we're just more engaged or something. And then I've like adopted that in listing appointments and stuff like that. And it's just little things that you can do that are natural and authentic. Like, don't go out of your way to be someone you're not. You know, if you're, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm weird on the etiquette, because like my online presence would be like, people think I'm a maniac, you know, sometimes, because I kind of have a bit, sometimes some of my skits are kind of like characters, but my audience and my clients know that it's, you know, sarcasm and it's a skit and it's all in like good fun. So I kind of have a weird crossroads sometimes, but I totally also relate to what you were saying before, Kirsten, about the turning on and off. You feel like, especially when you're like kind of in the light all the time, like people see you one way, and they just like, I've had people come up to me sometimes and be like, oh, like do that joke or something. And it's just like, okay, I'm not like a circus clown, you know, like I just kind of, it is like a weird, I guess, cause people just see you online all the time. They just like, I don't know. They assume they, which is good. They feel like they know you before they know you. And I always talk about that, which is a great thing, but it's almost like they come up to you and they're like, oh yeah, do this. And oh, remember, and they talk to you like all this stuff. Then you in turn feel like you have to like constantly be on, and you can't really be like you would be with like your friends or your family or something like that. And it does get exhausting.
Oh, it really, yeah. Does. And I think, you know, for example, when you produce social media content, you could batch content in 1 hour, make a lot of different takes of things. You could, you know, batch it and make 10 takes, right? Or 10 different pieces of content. You know, when you're on television, it could take you, you know, 6 weeks to film the equivalent of an episode, you know, in 3 to 4 hours a day, you know, 3 days a week. And that's a different amount of energy, right? And so I think there is something to be said for, you know, that, and I think that's something I didn't appreciate till I got into television, was how much it takes for these guys to produce that to be on that show, and that each of them, if you look at it from amplifying the personality, each of them has done something completely different with it. You know, Steve Gold's the only other person that's been on as long as he has. Everybody else is either Tyler's 2 years, I'm 1 year, you know, Ryan and Frederick are 9 seasons, you know, and it's interesting to see even the two of them in the way that they've done, you know, everything. Like, you know, Frederick has created a personal brand, but he hasn't created a, you know, the course and the, you know, that whole network. It's just different. He's worked on more expansion from a Element brand, you know, Eklund Gomes brand. And so I also look at them and it's like, what do I want? And that's something Tom Ferry is always saying, like, what do you want to do with this? You know, and being clear about that. And the hardest thing for me is actually, I love the stuff that has to do with the personal brand. And I would crank out 7 blogs a day about stuff I want to talk to agents about, because I've been watching from the sidelines and thinking about this stuff for over a decade. And then there's also this, hey, I'm building this team that needs to like really pay their bills and make sure that they're, you know, that they have leads and that they're producing and that they're closing their deals also on my business. And there's, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to compartmentalize.
Million Dollar Listing crew has done such an incredible job at building their personal brands. I feel like everyone from LA to New York have their own venture that they're doing. Like you said, with, you know, Sirhan, his own brokerage, the course, his books. You have, you know, James and David. We just had James on from Los Angeles. They have their email, the blueprint, which is incredible. The Altmans have like their speaking gigs and their sales courses and everything. And you, you know, have a huge digital brand now too. So you also have a podcast, which is Moms in Real Estate. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, how that started and where you want to take that?
Well, when I was at Compass, I decided to start Moms of Compass, and then I left Compass, and then there was no more. I mean, there's a Moms of Compass, but I wasn't running it. And so it wasn't going to go anywhere because like, I'm like that person, you know, that takes these kinds of things and takes them to the next level. And I was trying to decide what I was going to do with it. And so my brother, who is runs my digital marketing, so he does all of the SEO, all the web presence. He's really the guy that like does all that stuff I don't really understand. You know, everything from like how the hell we get Facebook to get back to us so we can run ads behind anything, you know, all these like really annoying operational things that have to do with digital. And he was like, listen, you need for your SEO presence, like, we need to do something that's going to be like cross, you know, something. And so we started talking and it was like, you probably should just go back to interviewing moms about, you know, the business. And I am. And so we came up with Moms of Real Estate. It has a great acronym because it's more. And the thing is like, I did it being like, oh my God, it's another thing we're putting in us. Like, you know, I'm just like, I'm producing so much stuff and it's so hard when you go do this stuff at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. But every time I get so much incredible feedback, women are so excited to be on the show and the stuff you talk about is really relevant for other women. And there are so many women out there trying to figure out what they should do next. They're either had a break in their career because of kids or they're just like, and then there's so much just imposter syndrome, confidence issues. So there's so much around that about just like putting yourself out there and then all the hacks that you need to have to be a mom in real estate. So it's done really, really well. We have a blog that goes with it. And all of that is, you know, very, very important in the world of digital.
And you were doing that as an Instagram live show and now you're putting it on YouTube and Anchor and everything.
Yeah, we're putting it on YouTube and we're going to be doing a podcast with it. And then of course, you know, you start to decide, you know, what content you're going to put where. But I think from a search engine perspective, clearly YouTube is amazing. And we're getting a lot of views on YouTube because of the people we have coming on. You know, Glenda Baker was on. I think Tracy's going to be on soon and some other great, Ty DiCarlo is on, you know, all great, fabulous
friends
people.
Friends of the show.
All friends of the friends. Show, yeah.
Yeah, we've had Glenda and Taya there. They're the best podcast guests.
Yeah, they're really, really incredible. And we all have different energy in all of different ways. And like, and honestly, I look at both of them as an incredible inspiration. You know, they inspire me and I literally look up to them as much as I would look up to somebody on Million Dollar Listing, because creating your own platform without having a show, it takes freaking cojones. Like it is like not easy and they do it and they invest in it. And like, I needed somebody to tell me I was going to be cast on Bravo to do that. And they didn't.
Yeah. Having a blog that goes with your podcast as well as genius. Gary Vee always talks about doing that.
You know, all this stuff, is like, it's just, it's got a marathon, not a sprint. You just got to keep doing it, right?
We just started doing that with all of our shows, and it's been a game changer in terms of views, SEO, and everything, because all these blogs or all these podcasts have so much value that, you know, when we'll break this one down into like three of your major points, and people could just read the blog instead of watching the podcast. And sometimes the blog makes them want to watch the podcast. So from each podcast, we're getting like 10 or 15 pieces of content in terms of the clips, the reels, the stories, the quotes, the blog, the YouTube, Spotify, like everything. The podcast is just such a valuable form of content for anyone building their brand.
And the fact
takes a team.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, yeah.
The fact though, that you've niched down on some of the things that you're doing, like Moms of Real Estate, that's obviously for a niche specific, you know, audience, which is awesome though. That's what I like. You can't market to everyone, or you're just going to, if you just had a podcast called Real Estate, no one's going to watch it. Right. They're not going to be sure who the audience is. So like having that and like something that's obviously something you're passionate about and you have,
I mean, I feel a duty to the universe. Like I was, for whatever reason, this really incredible thing happened to me. And of course, like the stars were aligned. I was ready. I was prepared. There was a lot of great things going that made it happen, but I do feel a duty to give back and like share with other women that like they can do it too, because there's plenty of room in the marketplace for more of me. And there's no reason not to like share that story with other women.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel that sometimes too, not with Moms of Real Estate, but like just with people who like, you know,
what's
you can
your calling,
do it.
Matt?
Well, I just start all my speaking gigs like that. Like I'm not like some fucking guru guy. Like I'm just, I saw an opportunity and I took the opportunity in the content that I'm creating. Like anyone can find their own opportunity in this industry and take it. It's just about taking that risk. And I think
and a stepping lot of people into your power.
Yeah, absolutely. Because people need to hear that. They just think they see you on, this is a great episode because they see you on Million Dollar Listing, but they don't see you 12 years prior. You know, they don't see all the struggles you had to get there. They just see you there and think, oh, I can't do that. But really, maybe if they looked at your story leading up, what you've told on this episode, they'll be like, oh, that sounds a lot like me. You know, maybe I can do that podcast I wanted to do or that video, you know? So it's cool. I'm glad you brought all that up and it's cool. I think people are going to relate a lot with you. I'm sure they already do, but I think they're going to relate and love this episode.
I also think like, just put the goddamn content out there.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, of course, you know, there's a level. I was on that panel at Inman and Kelly Ben Simone was saying, you know, you should curate the content you're putting out there. And I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, you're right. We should all be curating, but like, she's coming from a different point of view because she has a really truly established brand, where a lot of people who are building a brand, like you have to throw a lot of stuff out there and see what sticks and then you can keep pivoting. But like, if you're afraid and you're trying to treat everything like it's so precious, you really like, how are you going to sell also houses and homes and apartments? Like you need to just get that content out there and see what it's up there for 24 hours. You can archive it. You can take it down. Like just put it out there.
It's all trial and error.
Yeah. It's tough for agents. Like you're kind of a jack of all trades. The fact that you could write podcasts,
huge.
Do
we
video,
found out that no agents can write AR.
No. So we just started Broke Agent Media, bam. And we're recruiting, you know, contributors and podcasters and bloggers and stuff. And so many agents have great ideas and funny concepts and tactical information and marketing tips, but their writing style is not necessarily great, or they're not good writers basically. But you know, your ability to do all of that is so important for your digital brand. That's why it's exploding right now. So back to your writing real quick. You said you were working on a book. What's the concept of the book and how is that going?
The concept of the book is basically the mission that I talked to you about, which is, you know, showing women and anybody that, you know, it's all of us are waiting for this external validation for somebody to be like, hey, you hit a million in GCI and now we're going to let you have that $20,000 a year stipend for your assistant, or you hit XYZ and therefore, or somebody called you and wants you to cast on the next Netflix, I don't know, Bling Dynasty show. And like everybody's just waiting for a call. Right. And the problem is like, what's crazy, and what I learned from putting myself out there more, investing in my brand, is that the higher up you go and the more you push and the more you invest and the more you higher your expectations and go after opportunities, the less competition you have. Because everybody else is so scared out of their freaking minds that they're going to get rejected or that someone's not going to call them and tell them or ask them or reach out to them, that like those of us who are bold and step forward, and you know, it involves stepping into your power, having clarity, having a plan, you know, watching your spending. I mean, you can't spend an unlimited amount of money on your social and expect it to just give you returns in, you know, in continuum. Like you have to think about what you're doing. But this idea of saying, I'm not going to wait for external validation, the stuff I always wanted to write a book. I always wanted to do a blog. I always wanted to do all this stuff, but I was like, who's going to listen to me?
Yeah. I realize like the sidelines thing you mentioned a little bit back, watching from the sidelines. I totally relate with that. Who's going to want to hear from me? And then we got to the show, Kirsten, you more so than me, but we've still got to the show. And that's fantastic. Do you have a working title for this book?
We're kicking something around. It has to do with, you know, your name, something around your name and lights, a little bit of, you know, a couple of these like ideas.
I always get, whenever people have ideas, I give my 2 cents, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're way off, but here we go. Let's have a play on Michael Jordan here. I mean,
yeah.
Think about this, wearing a Jordan jersey, 23, it comes out in 2023. I mean, that's clever shit.
That, even ooh, if it's, I love just, it.
Even if it's just a post on Instagram to promote the book, I think we're onto something.
Oh yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Well, you know, the way that I always get people to like at least spell my last name right is I always say it's like Jordan, like Michael Jordan. And there I didn't change my name when I got married because I was like, this is a great name. I can't change my name.
Yeah, it's strong.
I need to own this domain name because someday I'm gonna be somebody. Like I did always have that. You know, I always was like, I'm gonna be somebody. I just am waiting for that phone call.
The phone call came.
We call it a cryptic text, and right. I ran with it.
You manifested it.
And think Kendall, I mean, Jenner's, we should all be change your name. No.
Well, you know what? I feel like we should all be gifting our friends a text message every once in a while. That's like, hey, I heard, you know, I'm calling you from YouTube, and I just wanted to say that you really need to start your own show on YouTube because I saw your content that you put out the other day.
That'd be a good show. We just call random people. Kirsten, let's talk about this off air. What if we did this? If we called random people on our social media and we filmed it and we're just like, hey, we looked at your social, you should do this and this and this, and you should, you know, really go for it today. And like, just make
it. Because we're going to hire you. If you just do it in 18 months, we'll hire you on this Netflix show. But if you don't do that, we won't call you for the Netflix show.
Yeah. There you go.
Matt and I are waiting for that same call. But it's just the blue check verification. That's the only thing we're waiting from Instagram. Oh, and we get a bunch of fake ones of, you know,
we want that bad, Kirsten.
No, but listen, you guys are a couple podcasts away from someone calling you and asking to follow you around. Please. And do the show, if you haven't already gotten the phone call.
If anyone's, please, Kirsten, I'll come back to New York. Maybe next time you film, I'll just kind of like be lurking in the background and maybe I'll have. You know, I'm not really a lead role necessarily with my face, but I think I have an interesting look. There's something about me. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think
humor is so important in this, all of this. There really is so much for that. And I do believe that, I mean, look at the stuff. I mean, the stuff Ryan's producing and even some of the stuff Tyler's producing. I mean, it's like a movie itself anyway. At this point, like there's no line. The line between television and what you've self-produced is the same line between self-producing or self-printing your books or publishing or whatever. I mean, like it is blurring so quickly that at some point it's going to be like, hey, we're going to give you $200,000 and a film crew. See you later.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. That's what I see from what I can see from behind the scenes.
Totally. I mean, what you can produce on your iPhone now, sir, that's Bowie. He enters every episode. What you can produce on your iPhone now is like better than Saved by the Bell season 1, 2, and 3. Like legit.
True.
Not the actual content. Right. I mean, the show was incredible, but the actual quality of the show. I mean, it's just incredible what you can do. And that's a great point. You really don't need a show. That's what I say. You got to be the show. You got to be your own show and then you'll figure it out.
I mean, a lot of the people that are getting their own shows right now it's because of their own digital presence. And you just got to kind of keep, and the truth is again, you can make more content yourself.
Yeah.
In that time, if you had 3 hours, 3 days a week to create content for like 18 months, how much content? I mean, you'd have to find a platform that was new to put it on because, yeah. So, you know, I think that everybody just is, and granted, television is an incredible platform. It's amazing. But if you think about what you're doing with social, what I'm doing with social, I plan on upping my investment in time and money into social. I saw Glenda Baker the other night and I was telling her about this fact that I think it's time for me to get a content creator that's really going to help with both my team and my personal brand. You know, does she think that's a good idea? She was like, duh. Like, and I was like, oh, wow, that's great. Because I'm sitting here being like, oh my God, like, you know, I could budget it for the 3 months and then we'll see what happens. And but you got to do it.
Yeah. Glenda's the perfect example of someone who's created a show for herself. I mean, with the hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok, she has a fan base. Doesn't her fans have name, like an actual name?
It's like the Church of Glenda Baker.
Yeah. And they all say Stars and Stripes. They wear her merchandise. It's like everything with her. And it's crazy. It's
to the point where she's not even talking about real estate half the time anymore. She's literally talking about her life. Yeah. Just like her, whatever, going on like a date or whatever. It's like, I watch it all the time. It's hilarious. It's really, and she's just like, I told her on our episode that she reminded me of Sandra Bullock from The Blind Side, that character. And she's like, just like the sweetest human. But Kirsten, I want to be like the Gordon Ramsay of real estate. Do you think I can do it?
What does that mean though?
A
chef / real estate agent?
No, I just want to be aggressive. I don't understand the context. I feel like HGTV is a little cookie cutter.
Oh, you know, like
I want a show that's a little aggressive.
Right. Like maybe you're screaming at your clients and
sellers. I think the stuff that you do that is brash and aggressive and like pushes those boundaries is like truly extraordinary. And that's where the deep laugh, like really great humor comes from. And what's incredible is like none of it that you're doing is actually offensive, which is like very impressive. And I think that's something that like so many people go too far in a way that's inappropriate. And I think that like the fact that you're able to walk that line is really why I know you'll be on TV at some point, in some form. Like I there's no question you're committed. You guys are going in that right direction, all of that. And I think that like the continuing to go with that of like pushing it with these sellers and these buyers. And I mean, the brokers, like the brokerage community is so huge and it resonates so much with them. And broker to broker referrals is of course, you know, such a huge piece of this business. But then there's just the fact that it resonates with other people who are traders and brokers in other industries.
We're cut into that clip. When we get our show, we're cut into that clip. You say, I know you're going to be on TV. Yeah.
Just don't even.
Thank you.
I have no worries here. No concerns.
Because you're a star. You're a star. And we're stoked that you came on to have, you know, a star in our presence today. It was so awesome meeting you at Inman. And as soon as we met in person, I was like, Eric, I messaged you probably 5 minutes after. I was like, we need to get Kirsten on the podcast.
Yep.
And then I messaged you and you graciously accepted. And we are so happy that you came on. So thank you so much, Eric. Hey,
thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, guys. I hope that in the next 6 months, I take my social media to the next level and we want to do like a post-mortem again, a second podcast.
We'll recap from today
to 6 months, the book, the next show that I'm pitching, all of the crazy stuff I'm working on.
Oh yeah. Whenever you want on, you're on. Let us. Okay.
You could be our third host.
Yeah, you can just keep coming on.
Yeah. People are getting sick of Matt now. Anyway, we need some women on here.
There's a lot to be said for the female brokers.
100%. Yeah. Our audience is my mailing list, I think, is like 57% female. My Instagram audience is 58-59% female. The real estate industry itself, I think, is 55%. So
yeah. Don't quote them on any of that.
Yeah.
All of us women are just
one of those stats.
We're all just looking for some kind of an escape.
Right.
We gotta, you know, it's and there's more women than men in the real estate, in residential real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that one right.
Yeah, for sure there is.
Yep. That's all right. Awesome. So I think it Kirsten, is. Where should people find you? What's the number one platform you want them to be driven to?
So listen, Instagram is my baby. You know, that's where I focused from the beginning, and I don't buy followers. I don't buy likes. Everything's organic. And so it's really, really special to me. That's, and then of course, you know, the newsletter, if you sign up for my newsletter, it's going to help me get my book deal. So God damn it, sign up for my newsletter. We put great stuff in there. You get links to the Moms of Real Estate show when that comes out, which of course is on YouTube, easy to find there. And I plan on taking my TikTok to the next level. I'd love advice on that. It's so hard to know what to do with TikTok when you're like, you know, such a robot so much of the time. And like, you just, it's like, how do you be, cause it's a different platform and we all have to embrace that. So I'm working on that too. And I guess that's it.
Amazing. Kirsten, thank you so much for being on. Can't wait to have you on in next year or whenever, when your book comes out and your new show comes out and your next season of Million Dollar Listing comes out. We are rooting for you as always and stoked to see your growth. And thanks again.
Presents Over Ask Podcast.